Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Brunching with Friends, where we're going to give you the highs and the lows of this week's pop culture and also some advice that you can lean on. But remember, this ain't a show for your mom and her little friends, and it's also probably not safe for work. Other than that, let's start the show. Enjoy. Hey you guys, we have a very special guest, my best friend, Madeline.
It is I have arrived.
You have arrived. I'm so thankful that you are here to engage in what will hopefully be one of the best podcasts out there, you know.
Absolutely. So
let's get into the show.
Okay.
So, of course, you guys, we're going to start off, because it is Brunching with Friends, we're going to stick with the theme of brunch, and we're going to start off with a few appetizers. So what's one of the most appetizing thing that you have saw this week in pop culture or anything? Well, you've been in quarantine, so I mean,
yes.
how have you been handling quarantine? Like, this is crazy.
First of all, I feel like I don't watch Walking Dead, but I did watch Z Nation, and I am totally now equipped and in full belief that a zombie apocalypse can happen. So I have been gearing up, girding my loins.
Not girding your loins.
I have been preparing for the inevitable. So, yeah.
Okay, listen. You know, initially, talking about zombie apocalypse. So initially everybody was like, shit, a zombie apocalypse can't happen. I was like, nah, it can't. It can never happen, because every time that a movie portrays like the zombie apocalypse, everybody tries to get to the CDC and Atlanta. I'm like, girl, Atlanta already has all enough people. Why would you try to go to Atlanta? Like, what are you going for? It's like, why? Just get the hell out. Go to an island. Do something. But now that we see how fast this virus spread, I'm like, shit, maybe I need to be trying to get to the damn CDC or something.
Maybe they know something we don't, because...
Okay.
Baby, it is getting real.
So, real. Like, I was strolling through Twitter, and I seen a video of Bad Baddie. I think that's her name. I don't know that girl. But, you know, the girl who was on Dr. Phil with her mom, and she was like, catch me outside. How about that? And I was like, listen, you need to catch a belt to your ass before somebody puts you in a coffin. And I seen where she was just basically talking, and she was trying to tell everybody, like, look, I grew up in the hood or wherever the fuck she grew up in. And she was like, listen. And then she started comparing everything to, like, Tarzan. I was like, wait a minute. Girl, I know you are not trying to compare the reason you like being around black people to Tarzan. And lo and behold.
Yes, she did.
She did. Was around there trying to compare. And I get it. Like, look, I have people who really loves, you know, black culture, who really loves being around black people. And that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But girl, just be yourself. Just be yourself. And everyone will be fine. You don't have to put braids in your hair. You don't have to go off into these little tangents trying to prove that you hood, because nobody cares. And I think one of the biggest things is we give her so much attention, even with us talking about her on the show. I mean, we give her so much attention. She lives for that.
She does. And I think society, especially social media, is part to blame for basically creating the beast of a figure that she is. And my God, I've never looked at somebody's face and uttered the words, you are so out of touch with the world that's happening around you, as I have when I looked at a picture of her with her best Diana Ross wig on. Yeah. and an Instagram filter, and I was like, girl, I would pay good hard quarantine money to see her and Rachel Dolezal have like an Inyana Fix My Life kind of situation going on.
Oh, not Inyana. Not Inyana.
I would love to see them try to out-black each other. I think...
Not on my watch!
I think that is what the streets need today. They need that. They need that. Listen, because that girl is so on the other side of what common sense is. Like, I haven't seen a more blatant example of ignorance and foolishness than I have this week watching people philosophically break down her her demeanor, her hair, her face, her skin, her everything. Like, just leave it alone.
You know, do you know what I want to see? I want to see Bad Daddy and Dr. Umar Johnson, who may or may not be a doctor, have a really in-depth conversation. I want to see it. Make it happen.
Make it happen.
Make Oprah, it happen.
Oprah, Tyler Perry, the powers that be, please, if you're listening out there, please tweet them, Instagram, DM them, Facebook, Messenger them, and tell them we need that. You're welcome.
Give the people what they want to see. We want to see Dr. Umar Johnson, Iyanla Van Zandt, Bad Baddie, and Rachel Dolezal have a red table talk with Jada Pinkett Smith. And we will pay good Facebook coin to see this go down.
We will. We will. I will scrounge up the crispest $5 bill and I will send it to the girls. Mark Zuckerberg and them, hey, we need y'all to do
They're missing out on opportunities. They're missing out on opportunities. Yeah. Speaking of missing out on opportunities, mm-hmm. what is one thing that you have missed since you've been in quarantine?
Oh, that's a good question. I have missed flaking on plans.
Oh,
I really have. I'm an introvert by nature. I'm an extrovert with my friends, but I really miss having the option to move around, the option to stay in the house. Now staying in the house is the thing that everybody's doing, and I'm like, no, that's not the way this works. That's not how any of this works.
I definitely think one of the things that I miss the most is the ability to late night creep. And now that the police are actually out, and Lisa is out looking for us, girl. Yes. Let me tell you something. You better have your ass in the house at 5:30, because at 5:31, you pull out your driveway, you're going to jail.
You're going to jail. And if you
and if you are
going to catch the coronavirus, why would you want to do it at, you know, at the precinct? Why?
So, I mean, there's so much that I missed out on and I didn't know that I need, like, you know, the sun. So, like, of course, going outside is extremely okay in front of your house. But then you're like, oh, well, man, I really wish that I could just go to the lake or go to the beach or go hiking. My black ass ain't never been hiking, but I want to go. It's like when your mama tell you not to do something, and you're like, damn, I want to do it now. The government is telling us to stay in the house, and everybody's like, man, we don't want to do that. And me personally, I'm an extrovert, so I love being out. I love going out. I love doing things. I especially love going to the club. And I haven't been able to go to the club since March. And yes, I took my right before everything actually started to get bad. I mean, like, really, really bad. I took my ass to the club. It was only like 15 people in there. But, you know, I had such a good time with those 15 people.
And that's the way it is. And now look at us a month later, and the animals are reclaiming their earth.
They're reclaiming the earth. And it's like, you know, we look at stuff, and I was talking with some more people who was like, man, the world will never be the same. And I know I've had personal conversations with mm-hmm. you, and you always state the earth resets itself. It's not that the earth is breaking down, it's the earth resets itself. And I tend to agree with that, you know, because I've seen some things. Like, I seen a bear walking down the road the other day just saying, hey, and I was like, okay, so when did we get bears? And they've always been here.
It's a matter of when we, you know, global warming, climate change, and all of that. What we have to remember is that what people are really fighting for is that balance between the earth being livable and the earth being inhabitable by every other being. So the Earth is always going to survive whatever happens. Like, the planet itself is not going to implode with what humans are doing. But if the Earth becomes a place where human life is not sustainable, that's a problem. So the Earth is going to do what it does, and we're just going to have to move accordingly. We try to throw monkey wrenches, but our monkey wrenches are harming ourselves. So, you know, at the end of all of this, when we emerge as zombies, the Earth is going to reset accordingly.
I think, you know, one thing that I've learned also during quarantine is that, man, I really missed watching TV. I think for people who actually work all the time, you really don't get a sense of watching TV. If you work a 9-to-5, by the time you get home at 5 o'clock, you take a bath and things like that, you ready to go to bed or do whatever y'all do, cook or whatever. And I have watched so much TV, Netflix, Hulu. It's crazy. And then being on Netflix, of course, everybody has stumbled across Tiger King. And I'm like, my God, what trash it is. But I cannot look away. And it's like, I want to look away. I want to stop watching. And I want to be like, man. But I've learned that I'm going to take my stimulus check and I am going to go buy the rarest tiger and feed my friend. Because I feel like if Carol Baskins can get away with feeding her husband, allegedly, to...
My God, today, the thought that she allegedly fed a tiger to her husband and then turned around and opened up this big cat rescue. And she has such a very calm demeanor, very, you know, we are the world. Peace is love. Love is peace kind of aura. And she's a murderer. It's like...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. She's an alleged murderer. It's so baffling to me. Like, when they say that the truth is stranger than fiction, it really is. But that Netflix gave us this gift. Because we weren't worthy, and yet, here we are. So, thanks, Netflix.
Thank you, Netflix. So, also, as I was strolling on Instagram, I saw that so many people are trying to get out of jail because of the coronavirus. I saw that, what is his name? The guy with all the tattoos on his face. He looks like a clown that's been dipped in, like, rainbow Skittles or something. What is his name? 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
I see that he actually is trying to get out, released early. I see that your boy Bill Cosby is trying to get out early. And then this little YNW Melly, which I don't even know what the hell. I thought they were trying to say Mountain Dew. I don't know what the hell and why the hell his name is that, but that's his name.
Melly. I'm not aware of what that cartoon character's name is. It's gonna sound bad, but that sounds like the name of somebody who needs to be in jail. Like, I don't understand why
he actually I think that's the guy who set up his best friend. He actually murdered his best friend or something like that, and he got caught, of course, because he's in jail. And they apparently have been giving him Tylenol and Gatorade to treat his symptoms.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. If I'm in jail and I get the coronavirus, not even knowing how does one get the coronavirus in jail in a lockdown facility? I don't know. Questions that may need to be answered and looked at and explored by someone with a higher degree than mine. But... let me tell you something. You're not about to give me no Tylenol and Gatorade and call it a day. You're just not going to do that.
That's not a cure-all. And jail is the last place I want to be when a pandemic or an epidemic or any kind of demic breaks out, especially in the United States. Like, you might as well be in hell.
you might as well. Like,
you might as well.
Because if the zombies do emerge, you know what they're going to give them in jail? Gatorade and Tylenol.
And Gatorade and Tylenol. It's they go back to your original form.
And I guess if you blue skidoo, we can too. Then after they give you the Gatorade and Tylenol, you're going to be human again. You're welcome. So no, I don't like like you said before, we're never going to be the same after we come out of the other side of this. And unfortunately, the people who are locked down in prisons or are in part or are a part of that system always catch the tail end of it. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but anybody with the name YENWXQRS Melly probably did what they said he did. So, you know.
So, apparently, right now, some states are thinking about reopening their states and lowering their restrictions on people moving around within the state. So what do you make of that? Like, me personally, I'm like, oh my God, I get to celebrate my birthday. And then on the other hand, I'm like, oh my God, if I celebrate my birthday, I may die.
I think it's too soon, to be honest. And whenever they open up outside, I'm going to stay inside for an additional 2 weeks because people are bound to be diagnosed with COVID-19 and die in droves. And I don't have time for that. Nothing going on outside of my house is serious enough for me to catch this, you know, this illness, and I don't know what it's going to do to my body. And risk having to suffer for at least 14 days, if not die, you know, just for the sake of being outside. Like, I want to be out there, but not at the cost of my life. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah, and I started thinking, because the dates they were originally given out was April 30th for the whole country to open back up. And my birthday is May 11th. So I was like, oh, wow, that's enough time for me to see who goes out there first. Let the first round of people offer them up for tribute and see if they drop or not. Because I never not celebrated my birthday. So, like I said, I don't think that our country will ever be the same again. But sometimes, you know, things happen and we learn new ways of living, because there are businesses that told people they couldn't work from home. And now they're working from home. And so I think it does open and lift a veil on some of the things that we could do better as Americans. We just have to all be on the same page. And unfortunately, there are people now who have been laid off of their jobs and financially, or furloughed from their jobs, and financially they can't afford it. And quite honestly, $1,200 for some people, it is a lot. But for people who stay in bigger and larger cities, $1,200 is just a portion of their rent money. And some landlords are asking for six for rent money. Let me tell you something. If a landlord asks me for anything other than a cashier's check, I'm going right on down to the Better Business Bureau. And that complex is going to be named KB.
After I get through contacting my lawyer and going down to the police station filing charges, the landlord ain't going to have to worry about whether or not they're going to get fixed for rent, baby, because they're going to be rent free down to the detention center.
Have a six in jail. That too.
It's crazy out here. Shout out to all of the healthcare workers, everybody who's from the people who stock the shelves at Kroger, you are greatly appreciated. Shout out to the people who have to, you know, go out and still earn money for their households and their families. And shout out to the people who got laid off, found unemployment, honey, get that extra $600, honey. If they tell you they ain't got an extra $600, you tell them that you are going down with the Trump check from Donald J. Trump.
Okay.
And you're going to get your extra $600. So shout out to everybody who's just surviving.
Saying I don't want to catch something that I don't know how it is going to impact my body. I just don't. I think that, you know, for those who, you know, who have got it and survived it, I really wish them the best. And for people who've lost somebody to this virus, I send condolences to everyone. But I know me. I sneeze hard and I feel I'm about to implode.
Scared. I don't know. I feel like my heart is going to give out. So I just don't know what it would do to me. Because I could spread it to other people. But all I can tell you is just to measure how far your arm span is so that you know if someone gets close enough, how far your fist has to go before it connects with them. So you want to make sure that they're within that 6-foot range, because you don't want to claim self-defense if you had to take a step forward to knock them out. So just take extra precautions. Wash your hands, and then wash them again. Don't touch your face, your nose. Want to remind people, this is a respiratory illness. You can't eat the coronavirus, so it can't affect you from your digestive tract per se as of right now, but it's respiratory. So you're touching your nose, your eyes, your ears, anywhere we can get up in your respiratory system, and it's going to, you know, really scar you for life. Or you may not have a life. I'm not sure. But, you know, you get the point.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so crazy because there's so many conspiracy theories around the coronavirus. Like, initially when it first started, we first started hearing about it, and people were like, oh, black people can't get it. And I was like, I was like, thank God. Look at God. And then it's like somebody went back in the lab and said, make it stronger. It's not killing them. It's so, I'm like, when the first person, which was, I think, was a basketball player, that actually got diagnosed, I was like, well, damn. So, it doesn't mean that I wish harm to anyone else, but I was like, finally, something that we can't die from. And then the other theories with it being 5G. Now, that one, initially I was like, man, that's some bull. But then I started thinking, and I'm not going to share my thoughts on that because, yes, this is a podcast, but y'all are not about to call me crazy and loony and send me somewhere at all. It's just very interesting the amount of conspiracy theories.
Just to go deeper on this virus. What's some of the craziest ones that you heard? I remember, what was it, last week, a couple weeks ago, the girls on Twitter, even Carrie Hilson. My girl gave you a dissertation.
Oh, poor Carrie Hilson.
On the connection between 5G. And the coronavirus, and the girls already eating her up after that. But somebody, and please forgive me for not remembering who tweeted this, but somebody said, girl, she was tuned into one of these battles that's been happening on Instagram with the celebrities. Shout out, those have been awesome.
They really have. This is just a little sidebar. The best for one that I have seen is, of course, Lil Jon and T-Pain. And I know that when he played R. Kelly,
minus 30 a lot points. Of people like, were like, what this was the Harry hell? Potter, and we were competing minus for the House points. Cup. Like, please deduct points from that house because you didn't have to do that. It wasn't even necessary. You're stronger than that. You're better than that. But yeah, and it may have been that battle that she tuned into, because, you know, of course you can see the everybody's comments and everybody's tuning in, and somebody tweeted, see, girl, you still on your phone using your phone with the 5G network, but that's the same 5G, you know, whatever technology they use to create that bandwidth that causes coronavirus. So what's the truth here? What is the truth?
Hey, my brunch friends. Are you looking for something new to read? Something interesting that will keep your attention? Well, check out Sing Song Blackbird at singsongblackbird.wordpress.com. Check it out today.
We are back.
We back.
With Brunching with Friends with my special guest, Madeline. So it's now for the part of the episode where we dig into our little old handy dandy email, where we will be responding to some questions that were sent to us.
Ooh.
So I know I live for the drama.
Yes. Please let there be drama, Lord.
Okay. This question states, me and my boyfriend have been together for 6 years, and I can't help but compare my relationship to theirs. I'm trying to figure out who are they talking about. A few are married and, oh, they're other friends. Okay. A few are married and others are starting families, and me and mine are not even close to walking down the aisle. I'm not against marriage and actually do want to become one with my mate, but we are just not there. Should I be concerned? Am I wasting my time? That's a good question.
Well, I must say, the comparison of relationships is a very slippery slope because you don't know exactly what's going on within their relationship or exactly what makes their dynamic work. So, but I can also understand on the flip side how hard it is seeing other relationships look like they progress and they're hitting these benchmarks or whatever. And you and your mate are just sitting there looking at each other eating McDonald's fries.
Oh, not McDonald's.
McDonald's fries. The best. So, I don't know if concerned is the right word. I think it definitely warrants a conversation about where you see your relationship going. If now, marriage is...
No, keep going.
Yeah, if marriage is eventually the goal you want to meet, you and your mate kind of need to see if you're on that path. And if that's something your mate even wants, like, that conversation needs to be had so that everything is put on the table. Where do you see the relationship going? What are you progressing toward? Or are you all just together just to be together?
Okay, I can see that. Now, for me, I ain't never been with nobody that long, not 6 years, but I can say that, you know, for a lot of it, there are people who are in relationships who tend to sometimes compare their relationships to their friends, and they don't, like you said, they don't know what's going on within their friend's relationship. They don't know the trials. Mm-hmm. They don't know the ups, the highs, the lows, the valleys. They don't know it. So a lot of times what we tend to see is the best part of everyone.
Right.
And I've been around some friends who shows all parts of their relationships. They show the best part, the worst part. And it does put you in a position and say, do I want a relationship? Or if I really want a relationship, do I want a relationship that looks like that? Me personally, I think that 6 years is a little long for you to be feeling that way in a relationship. I think if you are feeling that way 6 years in, there should be some kind of light bulb that come on in your head to say, hey, it's either time to make a foundation that is going to be sturdy for me to feel comfortable with growing with you,
right,
or I need to pack my bags and I need to go. Now, a lot of people are so hesitant of leaving someone after they've invested that much time in a relationship, but you can invest all you want in a relationship. If a relationship is not going anywhere, it's not going to go anywhere. And that right. should bring up some concern, because I want a relationship that is continually growing, a relationship that is going to complete each other. And I'm not doing a Jhené Aiko, but I really want something that is going to, complement each other, and everyone sees how we're making it through those tough times. Because I think for a lot of individuals who see people that have been in a relationship for that long, and there is no true commitment, because a lot of people see true commitment as getting married. Now, me personally, I don't see that. You can be with someone for 50, 60, 80 years and not get married. But you also have to understand that at some point there's going to have to be some sense of, there's going to have to be some sense of, give me a big word. There's going to have to be some sense of understanding between the two people that, hey, I want to see you succeed, and I hope you want me to succeed as well. And yes, I'm not going to compare our relationship to other people, but I want us to be able to grow with each other and not grow against each other.
And that's absolutely, absolutely correct. And I, one thing I've learned in a relationship is not to compromise on what you want just because of the person that you're with. If you want to get married, if there's something that, you know, you are working toward, make sure you're with the person who, for one, understands that, acknowledges that, and is on the same page with you. And, you know, judgment-free zone, you know, however long you want to be with a person, and you're not married and that's something you actually want to do, that's on you. Whatever works for you works. Whatever doesn't work for you doesn't work. And it may work for somebody else. All you have to do is be concerned with what's going on in your relationship. But don't compromise what you want for the sake of being in the relationship. Like, the sacrifices have to be equal. That balance has to be right. So, best of luck, child.
And to that person, thank you for the question. I do hope that you get some sense of stability and some sense of, give me another word. I'm really not good at big words. And some sense of hope and understanding that your relationship may not look like the next person's relationship, but as long as it's what you want and what you feel comfortable with, then you keep on keeping on. But if you, after six years, don't feel like you can go on anymore, or you guys can't grow anymore, then you need to come to a conclusion of either leaving the relationship or having to come to Jesus meeting with that person.
Exactly. So, and listen to escape when you do it, okay? Because what we need from you is understanding, okay? Okay. How can we communicate if you don't hear what I'm saying?
Because every man wants a woman.
Okay.
No.
Make sure you use
escape. Thank you for the question.
Thank you so much. All right.
So the next question comes from the internet. Should my wife and I have a threesome with her brother? We gotta do it.
Oh,
we gotta do it. Okay. So here goes the question. My wife and I have been in an open marriage for 5 years. For as long as my wife has been interested in incest role play. Okay. While it isn't my cup of tea exactly, I haven't been willing and happy to support her in her exploration of this kind of fantasy and role play. Recently, though, things have started to move in an uncomfortable direction for me. I bet. My wife is very close with her older brother, who is also bi, with whom we often speak very openly about sex and sexuality. A few nights ago, and after a few drinks, my wife got to talking fairly explicitly about some of the family role playing that she and I are into. And her brother, who I thought would be kind of horrified, was not only entirely supportive, but vaguely expressed interest in exploring this kink with us. When we got home, I expected my wife to make it clear that her brother ever joining us in the bedroom was entirely off the table. But instead, she seemed to think it was a really good idea. In principle, I don't have a problem with the idea. While, like I said, I'm not that into the incest element of my wife's, and I guess her brother's fantasy, I'm happy to play along if it makes her and him happy. My wife and I have also enjoyed group sex, and so that isn't a problem either. I guess at bottom, I'm just worried about how this could affect my relationship with my brother-in-law. Is there a way for me to make this happen without it getting weird?
Let's explore the two words at bottom. Because, my God, what a layered conversation that is going to have to be. I think what this listener or what this person needs to first what they need to walk into, because I'm at a loss for big words now too. What they need to own up to is the fact that they're uncomfortable with it. They don't have to mask it or kind of justify their uncomfortability saying, you know, we've had group sex before, so that's not the problem. You know, we've had open conversations with my brother-in-law, so that's not the problem. You're having an issue. So it needs to be just that.
Not judging. You know, obviously you guys have a history of group sex. So, wow. But your brother... Because that's the thing. The term is group sex. Like, everybody's actively participating. So, brother and sister will be actively participating in the sex. Now, I don't know what kind of Game of Thrones episode this is.
I don't either.
But if you're uncomfortable with it, own up to that. You can be okay with group sex and not okay with being at bottom with your brother-in-law. Those two ideas can mutually coexist. So I think you need to have a conversation, let your wife know, hey, you know, it's so good that we can have open conversations and that you're just that comfortable and trusting of your brother. I'm not. So we may need to find another route to explore. Not my cup of tea personally, like you said, KD, but I think this person needs to own up to their uncomfortability and not downplay it. It's a problem.
Now, me personally, I'm just gonna be 100 from the door. It ain't gonna happen. Not here, not ever, not now, no matter the weather. First of all, the open relationship. Yes, I get it. It's a new day. It's a new age. The way people express love and the way people engage in love is very different from how they used to do it back in 1622. I don't know what was going on back then, but I'm pretty sure they had very, very, very strict and rigid boundaries. Have you ever seen the Scarlet Letter? They put that girl out on that damn balcony just for, you know, engaging with the pastor. But anyway, that's not here nor there. But seriously, like, my thing is, as her husband, I would not feel comfortable with the thought of you and your brother engaging in any type of sexual foreplay, sexual behavior with me included. I mean, even without me included. I don't want that to happen. It ain't going down. It's a no. It's actually hell no. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I get it. There are things that people find to be very stimulating in the bedroom. For me, that's just not one of them. I don't want you to bring my brother, my sister, my first cousin, my grandma. I don't want none of that to happen, you know, because next thing you know, they're going to be asking you to bring in Uncle Eddie or Paw Sally. I don't know. It's just not going to happen. Because after you have crossed that threshold, or after you have crossed that line, what is a no for you? What's a no? I mean, for you even to say brother, okay, that's a no.
I wouldn't care if it was a brother in the church.
Okay,
nobody called with the title brother in it needs to be anywhere near me. Am I thinking of?
So thank you for the question, but it's a no.
Thanks. Tell your wife you have an issue, a hard issue. Okay, just do it. Have the tough conversation. She may need to hear that. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We have another question from the internet. How can I get my in-laws to stop serving food that would kill me? Okay. This person says, I have a very severe allergy to mushrooms. I carry an EpiPen and I have been hospitalized multiple times because of exposure to this food. My husband politely explained this to his parents when we started dating, and I was invited to family meals. Since then, most meals we have shared at my in-laws' house have had very limited options for me. Somehow, they managed to find a way to add mushrooms to almost everything. One time, they made a point to make a special plate of mushrooms and pass it around. My mother-in-law said, very rudely, I would have liked to add mushrooms directly to the salad, but somebody has problems with it. They even added mushroom powder to the mashed potatoes at one holiday dinner. My mother-in-law claimed it was a new recipe she found. I literally held my breath as a mushroom passed in front of me at the table that day. That was extremely dangerous for me. That food could kill me. What's worse is my husband told me that mushrooms were not a common dish served by his parents before he started dating me. When I was pregnant, my husband told me we would not take part in any family meals if they didn't promise to keep the meals allergy free. His dad said, we can't promise that. Everyone except your wife likes mushrooms, and we're not changing what we eat for one person. My husband's sister even called me up angry about the fact we would not be attending a party at her parents' house, yelling that I was overreacting and the mushrooms are not a poison. This has caused a huge wedge between my husband's family and us. We no longer spend holidays with them and rarely speak. They don't get to see their grandkids, mm-hmm. even though they live closely by. His sister stopped talking to us. My husband supports me 100%, and he's very angry and hurt by their actions. But at times, I feel terrible that I'm the cause of this rift, and I just want a happy family.
Girl, let me tell you something. A happy family only exists in a Madea movie. Do you hear me?
Oh, not a Tyler Perry production.
The only place where you're going to see a happy black family. Everywhere else, the ending of the movie doesn't necessarily work out to enlightenment. Of, you know, epic proportions. Girl, let me tell you something. The fact that you have your husband on your side is reason enough. Don't harbor any guilt. Cause them folks trying to kill you,
girl. Girl, they trying to kill you. They don't listen. They do not care if you die. They actually may want
at the kitchen
dead.
Table.
Oh, First of all, I think I have the pleasure of not having many allergies. The only thing that my stomach acts up to is milk and other dairy products because I'm lactose intolerant, but I choose to engage right. in dairy products all the time. But this is someone who is definitely allergic to mushrooms, and your family chooses not only once, but on several occasions to actually have mushrooms strategically placed in meals in order to get rid of this girl. Like, they don't like you. I am pretty sure that at the wedding, they were like, listen, what's her allergies? She don't like mushrooms? Put a couple in their cake. Girl, why are you putting mushrooms in rice? Why are you putting mushrooms in banana pudding? We don't get it. This is not flowers in the attic. We are not trying to kill these folks slowly. She's trying to kill you directly. The mother-in-law don't like you, and the father-in-law is going to ride for his wife right. because, hey, that's what people do. But, girl, don't go back to the house.
And you're doing right not to send your
girl,
kids over there, too.
They're going to put mushrooms on the toilet tissue, honey. And you're going to go in the bathroom and wipe your ass, and that's going to be your last wipe ever because you're going to be dead. You're going to be
good by not sending your kids over there, because if they try to kill them kids, Bob, they'll have no respect for themselves nor their grandchildren. If they would much rather live a life where they have taken their daughter-in-law away from their mother, like it's sickening to me that people are like this. Like, you can't accept the fact that your child is in a loving, healthy relationship. Like it has anything to do with you. If your child was getting beat up on, spit on, you know, disrespected, all of that, then we'd have a problem. But it wouldn't be anything, you know, that I would address passive aggressively by trying to kill you by way of mushrooms. And then for the anonymous person to say, well, hey, my mother didn't even cook with mushrooms like this before we even met. Ding, 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 ding. Like, I'm glad that you have removed yourself from a situation that your husband has clung to the relationship with his direct family instead of, or the family that he chose instead of his immediate mother, father, sister, brother, whoever else. Girl, live with that and be okay. It'll be all right. It'll be all right because once them
it will be all right.
Not have any hand in their grandchildren's lives, they may get it together. And in the event that you all do ever come to some kind of reconciliation, don't eat that food, girl. Don't trust it. Don't trust it.
Right.
Don't trust it.
Don't trust it. I think, and you know, I've heard several nightmare stories of in-laws and how sometimes if they don't like you, they're never going to like you. Or they bring up certain girls that you used to date in your past, or they invite certain exes to holiday dinners. But this is beyond that. This is not something that is actually just words. This is a person literally putting something in a food that could possibly kill you. And just think for a person who just so happens to not have their EpiPen on them that day. Girl, you're going to blow up like the Macy's Day Thanksgiving balloon, you're going to be dead. So take our advice. Listen, don't eat the food. Don't go back over there. Just love each other from afar. Thank God we're on quarantine right now, so you can't even have the option to go over there. But, you know, we wish you best luck. Thank you for your question. All right, this next question comes from God knows who, but it says, my girl loves my family and they love her. She's good with my daughter and my niece and nephews. I know she loves kids, but she doesn't want to have kids with me. How do I get to the bottom of why without alarming her? I'm happy with the one I have, but I wonder if it's just a preference or could it be me? It's you. It's you. It's you.
It's you.
Listen, me personally, do I want kids? Yes. If I'm in a relationship and a person already has a child and I see the relationship that they have with their child, and it's a good relationship, then yes, I would think about somehow getting another child, because I don't know how it's going to happen, but we'll figure it out. But for this person in this situation, it seems like there are a couple elements missing. I don't know if there are, you know, financial issues. I don't know if there are intimacy issues. But it seems as if her focus is either she's solely content, because there are a couple of ways you can look at it. Either she's solely content with the family unit that y'all have right now, or she sees the family unit that you have right now and she doesn't want to bring another person into this world to be a part of it.
I totally agree. Yeah, it's definitely you, big dog. It's definitely worth having a conversation about. Again, communication is the key to solving a lot of the world's issues. Like, talk about it. Get to the bottom of why she doesn't want to have any children with you. Are your finances together? are you irresponsible? Do you make just bad life choices? Does she feel like you would raise the child the way the child needs to be raised? Is she looking at the current child that you have as a cautionary tale? Like, you just, those are things you have to explore and then kind of decide from there whether or not it's worth, if having another child is just that important to you. I know you mentioned that, you know, hey, you're content with having another one. That's how you feel right now, but on down the line, will you feel that way? But yeah, it's definitely you, but it's worth having a conversation about and figuring out, hey, what about me says, hey, don't have a child with me. A lot of people need to have that conversation. So,
and I think for a lot of people, and reviewing the question again, you know, there are some people who just do not want kids of their own, and that's perfectly fine. You know, some people have fur babies or plants. I don't know, but I think that there just are people in this world who just do not want kids, and they but they found someone that they love who just so happens to have a kid, and they accept that, and they just don't want to bring anyone else into this world, and that's perfectly fine. But you also have to explore, because men sometimes have a one way of thinking, and they like to think that things are, they like to take things at face value, and sometimes it's just not that. Sometimes you do have to explore, are there other reasons that you may not want to have a kid with me? And you don't have to get in your feelings. You can have a conversation. You can actually discuss things without being upset or getting your feelings. You can be able to express your emotions effectively, but there does need to be a conversation because you also have to explore if this person doesn't want to have any kids. You have to be able to be willing to accept that, and if you can't accept that, then just like the advice I gave to the question, two questions prior, then you have to be able to say, is this a relationship that I want to continue with, or is this something that I don't want to see myself in anymore? Because there are some people who want kids, and I would rather for a person to be truthful in the fact of saying, hey, I don't want any more kids. I'm glad that you have this one. We can love this child just the way that it is. We don't need to bring anybody else in this world. And then for a person to go step out and have other kids. We want everyone to be on the same page. But hopefully they ain't stepping out with a brother or a sister like the other person.
Exactly. Because that and ain't nobody is some got really freaky shit.
Anybody got time for
thank
that?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the question. We have one last question. And it also comes from the internet. It says, can I ask my mother-in-law to stop sleeping without underwear on? I have a wonderful mother-in-law whom I love very much. She frequently stays overnight in my home. I also have two young sons. My mother-in-law recently mentioned to me that she doesn't wear underwear to bed and never has, including while staying at my house. I'm troubled by this because she wears nightgowns to bed, and I'm afraid my sons might accidentally see her lady parts. Also, she sleeps on my furniture like this. I feel it is very disrespectful and unladylike. How to say to her that for the sake of my furniture and my sanity, I need to wear to bed in my house. Do I broach the subject, or am I being unreasonable?
First of all, okay, yeah, please start.
Okay, I'll start. Okay, so as a person who does not wear anything to bed, I do kind of get it from what he is writing in, because I remember a couple years back, we all went on a trip to Alabama, I want to say, and one of our friends that was coming from Texas, I told them, I said, hey, you know, I don't sleep with anything on, and she was like, okay, cool, that's fine, you know, whatever. But when we got to the hotel and it was time to go to bed and I started taking everything off, she was like, hold on, what is you doing? And I'm like, girl, I told you this. No. She said, oh no, I thought you were going to sleep with boxers on. No, ma'am. I do think, you know, out of respect, because when I'm staying over people's houses, I do sleep with at least boxers on, because I'm very hot natured. I get hot in my sleep. And so I know everyone wants, when they're asleep, they want to be comfortable. But you also have to understand that when you're staying and you're a guest in somebody else's house, you have to go by their rules, and you have to also be respectful of the surroundings that you're in. And yes, it is a little inappropriate for her to be just in her night slip or muumuu with no underwear on, and there's two young kids running around. You don't want them to be exposed to that at all, because, of course, we've all walked in on our mom or our dad or grandma getting dressed, and it's like, oh my God, what the hell was that? You know, we don't want these kids to be scarred for life, okay? But I do think there's a topic that you should talk with your mother-in-law about, just to for everyone to get on the same level as a part of being respectful of the home and the area that exactly. You guys are in.
And let me, I know you're having a stressful time, you know, your mother-in-law's really putting you in a dilemma, but let me get you right on together, okay? First of all, using the word ladylike when it comes to whether or not a woman is wearing underwear or not. Don't do that, okay? Because now your mother-in-law is attracted to somebody. 40 years ago, your mother-in-law was attractive to somebody. Now, if your preference for a woman that you're with is not to wear underwear to bed, don't be projecting that on your mother-in-law. If she don't want to wear no drawers, she don't want to wear no drawers. Okay? Now, I do agree with respecting a person's house. You know, you're in their house. You need to respect their space. There's nothing wrong with that. I would ask that of a 3-year-old. I would ask that of an 83-year-old. Just respect the space that I have created for myself, because you're in it temporarily. I'm in it forever. So I think it's worth having a conversation. Definitely, you know, go through the angle of the children, because if you go through the ladylike angle, she may just slap you in your face. Go through the angle of the children, not wanting to expose the children and have them ask questions, especially when that exposure is coming from somebody that they love and they trust. That's an even deeper conversation. But, you know, like I said, you just need to broach it from the angle that's pure, and that's your children. That's a definite concern for you. That's an organic concern. But don't tell that lady to wear drawers. She don't want to wear drawers. Shoot, we all have a family member, a mama, a grandmama, somebody older, a great aunt, or somebody who will let it all hang out and don't care who, see what, when, and where. Okay, so you have to go in gentle and let them know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in your house. But leave it at the children.
And I agree with that. I think that, you know, for me personally, when people come over to my house, I let them know right up front. I ain't gonna be walking around my house naked, but, you know, at least, you know, when you come to my room door, knock on my room door, because I may be in there naked, right? Because that's how I spend most of my time, in my own room, in my own space. But I do get his point of view. You want everything to be respected in your house. So thank you for that. Thanks. Question. We will be right back. Welcome back, you guys. Now it's time to get into the main course. So today we're going to be talking about relationships, because it seemed like such a good thing to go with. So we're going to ask Madeline, what are your views on relationships overall? What are your views on relationships
overall? And I was just talking to somebody about this a few hours ago, but overall I view relationships as business partnerships. Like, love is important. It is. Love is the glue that binds you to a person. But I also want to build with that person. I want to feel like I'm not in this life alone, that I have backup, that I have somebody who shares the same drive that I have, the passion that I have, and who is willing to help me complete my goals. That's what the core of a relationship is to me, or at least that's what a relationship should be to me.
Mm-hmm. Now me, when it comes down to relationships, I often say, you know, in a relationship, there are crucial things that have to be present. You know, you have to have trust. You have to have understanding, compassion, empathy for each other. And you have to have the ability to understand. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, when they go into relationships, and say, for instance, if an argument arises, everybody wants to be understood. Everybody wants to get their point across. But nobody takes the time out to actually listen to their partner. Nobody takes the time out to say, hey, you know, I am here with you in this moment, and I want to know from you what went wrong, how could it have been better, and where do we go from here? Right. A lot of times we have these expectations that we set on people when it comes down to relationships. And I always tell people, get rid of those expectations. You want to set standards for people when they're coming into a relationship, because people can either exceed or not exceed expectations. But with standards, they got to meet them or they got to go.
Right.
So if you keep your standards high, then they are doing everything that you are putting in that little checkbox for you to feel comfortable in a relationship, because you have to feel comfortable.
Right.
You actually have to feel comfortable in a relationship to make that relationship grow and to make that relationship manifest into something more long term, into something more and more stable. But a lot of individuals, especially with a lot of young couples or even some older couples, they get their expectations and their standards mixed up. And a lot of times I get so frustrated because I want them to be able to say, hey, I'm going to throw those expectations out the window, because every time that I set up an expectation, I always get disappointed because people are not meeting my expectations. But when you put standards up and you have those standards clearly defined and your boundaries clearly defined, because a lot of people don't have boundaries in relationships. They just go into relationships all willy-nilly, let a person talk all over them, walk all over mm-hmm. them, and they're not setting up those things that make them even more comfortable in a relationship, and it all goes to shit.
Right. And it's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. Balance is the key word. And being on the same page, that's something that in recent years has become very important to me, that we understand each other. I'm not saying that we have to agree on everything. I'm not saying that we have to, you know, kind of drop what's important to us for the sake of the relationship, but we need to understand where each other is coming from on every front. I don't want there to be a question about how I feel about certain things, because you already know. And we're on the same page. And I know exactly how you feel about certain things. And then we can kind of go from there and navigate from there. But, I mean, a relationship is what you make it. What you put into it is hopefully what you get out of it. And then some. But don't stay in a situation that's not helpful. It's not helpful to you as a person.
Right. Now, one thing that I think we both missed is to make sure a healthy relationship continues to grow in a positive direction mm-hmm. is communication.
Yes.
Communication is one of the biggest factors, and it also is one of the determining factors if a relationship will succeed or if a relationship will crumble. A lot of times, we go into relationships accepting certain things, but you have to make sure that communication is a priority, because if you don't have anyone that is willing to communicate when they're feeling down or when they need more from the relationship, because none of us are mind readers. None of us can say, oh, well, I know that this person wants me to do this, or I know. No, you have to be able to clearly and concisely state what you want, when you want it, how you want it. And they should be able to say the same. Yes, you may be in a relationship where sometimes you may not see eye to eye, and that's perfectly fine. Opposites attract, but you have to be willing to compromise on the effort to communicate. You have to be willing to communicate. And a lot of times I just said compromise. And I remember watching a video with Eartha Kitt, and she was like, what is compromise? I love that video so much, because she did make a good point that, you know, compromising in a relationship is a relationship that should be built on love and understanding. But we have to also remember that a relationship is built on communication, because when you're communicating with someone, you are thoroughly saying what you want, how you want it to be. And that person should be able, like I said earlier, to be basically saying the same thing back to you.
Right.
There are so many relationships that could have worked out or could have been longer if that person or that unit would decide to just communicate on certain things. Mm-hmm. So what kind of relationships do you think are more successful than others? That's a weirdly worded question, and I'll word it again. What kind of relationships do you see being more long-term than other relationships?
I think just in my personal experience, when I think of all the people that I know, including friends, family of friends, the longer term relationships I see are there's a lot of acceptance. And by acceptance, I don't mean just a flaws. A person likes a certain thing that you don't like, but a lot of acceptance of their financial situation, a lot of acceptance of their legal status, so to speak. A lot of acceptance of prior children, things of that nature, and a lot of acceptance of bad habits. And I guess, and I'm glad you reworded that question, because success looks different for everyone. If I'm from the outside looking in and I'm seeing this extremely toxic couple, but they work together, that may be success to them. Being aware of the toxic nature of their relationship and still continuing forward, just kind of working around it. But I do see a lot of acceptance. And likewise, on the other side, the shorter relationships, lack of acceptance. I'm not taking this. I don't want to deal with this. This is not working for me. Like, kind of.
I don't want to have sex with your brother.
I definitely don't want to have sex with your brother. Those are things that, you know, kind of shorten the life of relationships or kind of make or break a relationship. So that's the trend that I see. I see a lot of acceptance, not acceptance of things that I would personally take, but works for them. So yeah, that's the key ingredient just in my personal experience.
Okay. So another thing about relationships is distance. There are a lot of people who are probably listening to this who have either thought about it or have done long distance relationships. What's your view on long distance relationships? Now, I have a view on it. I have a very, very stern view on it.
I am not going to lie, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, I am team long distance relationship.
Really?
Only because I am a very, very, very stern advocate for space. Shout out to T.S. Madison. I love DTS. And I listen to her all the time. And don't ask me what video she said this on. I couldn't even tell you if I wanted to. But I remember her telling a story about someone she was talking to, and they looked at her crazy when she said that my ideal mate would be somebody that I don't even live with. Like, we would have two separate houses, and, you know, we would see each other in, you know, when we wanted to, in our own spaces, because that works for her. Now, I'm not that extreme. Because when I do want to be under somebody, I do want to be under somebody. Like, I'm not saying I want to live in a separate house. I would just like to have my own space. But if I'm put in a situation that's long distance, I wouldn't necessarily mind it, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying get away from me, but I'm saying if I'm in a long distance relationship, that wouldn't be a make or break for me. I would embrace that, actually, because I love my space just that much. When I want to be under you, I want to be under you. I want to miss you. I want that reunion. But there are times when I like to be alone. And that's just where I am at this point in time. So it's not something I'm actually actively looking for. Well, I'm in a relationship, but I'm not looking for anything. But if, okay, you know, I was in the market, it's not something that I'm actively looking for. But if I'm placed in a situation and that person goes a distance, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it.
Okay. Now I do not like distance at all. I like to be able to see the person I'm talking to. I like to be up under the person that I'm talking to. But on the flip side, I do like my space, but I don't like my space to a point where I would have to take a plane, a train, and a boat just to see you. And I get that there are other ways to be connected to someone that can get on Skype or Uvu or whatever apps there are out there. But I know me personally, I think that with me actually being around someone, my love language is physical touch and quality time. I think that I would be depleting my energy on that and trying to maintain a relationship that I wasn't comfortable with. I think that would be a relationship I wasn't comfortable with. Even when, and there also are some relationships that people are living in the same house or right by each other or close in proximity to each other. And it still feel like long distance because they're not connecting on the same level. Someone told me a long time ago, you know, proximity doesn't equal commitment. And that has stuck with me for a long time. But I also feel as if I'm close to you and you're close to me and we can be on the same page, because a text message, because I typically don't communicate on the phone. I hate talking on the phone. But and I usually communicate by text message or email, and those forms of communication can sometimes be misconstrued. And so, but when I can physically see you and I can hear your voice, or I can see your body language, it gives me more understanding of how the relationship is going, or it gives me more understanding of what we need to do as a team or as a unit to make sure that we want to continue the relationship going. Because for a lot of times, so many people keep their relationships going or marriages going just to please other people around them, because they feel as if other people are looking up to them, or they feel as if other people are watching them. And it's true. People be watching. But I just could not do a long distance relationship, because I feel that it would put me in a level of uncomfortableness. Is that a word? I think it is a word. We're going to use it as a word today. I think that it would put me in a level that I would not feel comfortable at, and I don't think the relationship would last. Because if you are getting into a relationship, you should be getting into that relationship to ensure that you guys are going to be successful. Right. You shouldn't just be getting into a relationship just to get into a relationship. If you don't want to be in a relationship with someone, then just date. There's nothing wrong with just dating people. Now, I will come back to that, because my thing is, if we dating, you only need to be dating me. But, you know, other people have different opinions on that. If I'm dating you, I could be dating other people all at the same time. But I feel that relationships are so critical in that time frame that you are in a relationship, as opposed to the time frame that you may get married or have a civil union or truly commit yourself to that person. That is the time where you get to know people. That is the time where you get to see their different behaviors. You get to understand their love language as well.
Right.
Because if you're not looking at those aspects when you're in close proximity of each other, then you're going to miss something. You're going to miss something that is going to be a crucial element to maintain this relationship moving forward. Because there may be times where, say, for instance, if you are depressed and I'm around, and I'll say, oh, I noticed that you're feeling this way. Talk to me, what's going on? But when you're in a long distance relationship, you may not get to be able to see that all the time. You're not sitting on the phone hours on end and actually looking at this person, because everybody's going to put on their best front. But when you're around someone for so long, you get to understand their body language. You get to understand their what pisses them off or what actually makes them go or be happy. And you get that. So I really, truly think that those are important key elements of maintaining a relationship. That's why I don't like long distance relationships.
Yeah. And I get that, kind of establishing that dynamic, which is, I've been in a couple of long distance situations and we were able to establish that connection before that person went off. So it wasn't as traumatic for me. But then again, that's something I don't mind. Thank God for modern technology and being able to see that person's face and hear that person's voice. But, you know, I can't lie, like, that suffices, because it doesn't. You know, there's nothing like you said, being able to be in a room with that person and you being able to make an exchange with each other, a physical exchange with each other. Now, my love language is primarily dominated by acts of service. So I would much rather you show your love to me by bringing the groceries into my house. Do you hear me? Those are things that I value in a relationship. So, of course, long distance works against that, so to speak. But yeah, it's a slippery slope. And again, it depends on the person, but I'm willing to make long distance work if the situation is right.
And there are some people, and don't get me wrong, there are some people that long distance, it works for them. And this is a individual or a couple's response, but you know, there are some people that it works for, but for me, it just won't work. Like I said, it just won't. I have to be able to see you. I have to be able to be near you in order for this thing to work out. Okay, so what about sex and relationship? I have read and I have seen on Twitter and Instagram where there are couples that complain that, you know, when we first started our relationship, we were having sex 60 million mm-hmm. times a day. And then we went to having sex maybe once a week, twice a month, three times a year. How important is sex in a relationship?
That is a loaded question. It really depends on the relationship. I have a friend that's like, I need it. Like, if I'm in a relationship, somebody, like, give me that. Like, you withhold it? Like, what's the problem? Like, it's just, he looks at it as an understood variable. And I totally get it. That's the person that he is. And if you all have an understanding at the top of their relationship, and you suddenly switch it up, that's a problem for him. So that decrease in, you know, the amount of times that you're having sex would be an issue for him. Something would be wrong, either with him, with that person, or with their relationship. So that lack of sex in his eyes would be connected to something deeper. Me personally, it's not a make or break for me, honestly. Intimacy for me is so much more than physical. The people that are close to me understand that more in depth, so I won't get into it too deep on the podcast, but I'm more of an intimacy person. Sex for me a lot of times lies outside of that, you know, so it's layered for me. It isn't a deal breaker for me.
And I think for a lot of individuals, it comes with age. I know for younger individuals, they're doing it like rabbits. And then as you get older, you understand and your perspective and value changes. And so does the need to maybe have sex 16 times a day. Maybe you just want to say, hey, I want to have a level of intimacy before we do anything, just like you said. And it just comes with age and time. So I definitely agree with that. Okay. So
bad sex is a totally different issue now. The type of sex is just as important as the rate at which we're having it. Now, if your sex sucks and I just don't happen to like you as a person, that is, God, that's unfortunate. I hope the people in this situation, you know, just, I hope they find relief in some kind of way. But yeah, it's
thankfully those experiences for me are few.
Do you understand me? Because baby, I don't like that.
Okay. So one last thing before we wrap up the show. What about cheating in relationships? Do you feel as if when you are in a relationship and I'm trying to figure out how I want to word this. What do you think is okay to forgive as it pertains to cheating in relationships?
I suffer from secondhand embarrassment. Like, I will be more embarrassed than the people that I'm witnessing have the firsthand embarrassment. So naturally, that exchange between Big Sean and Janae was super awkward for me. And somebody was tweeting about it yesterday, and they said that I don't complete, I cheat. And I was like, and I was like, girl, what you say? That's too much. Me trying to complete a person, I'm past that point in my life. Like, look, if you don't have it together, I'm going to have to explore other options. But
right,
in terms of what to forgive in a relationship, I can tell you this right now.
Maybe if I ask it this way, say for instance, you have a husband that cheated on you several different times with several different girls, as opposed to you have a husband that cheated on you several times with one girl. Are we willing to forgive the several different girls, or are we willing to forgive the one girl? And me personally, I had a epiphany. I was like, you know what? I think for a lot of people, they're like, oh, KD, no, baby. But first of all, if you cheat on me, you out the window anyway. But we're just talking circumstances, because some people take cheaters back all the time. But for me, I would feel more broken and more hurt by a person who cheated on me with one person several times, because that means that you have a connection with this other person that you do not have with me. Now, if you cheating with several different people, you just a hoe running around in these streets. But I would be so hurt by that one person several times, because that's a different level of cheating. That's a that's an emotional connection that I cannot compete with.
That's absolutely true. I agree. If what I would decide would be to dump both of them, it really wouldn't even matter to me. But if I'm looking at it circumstantial and situational, I would take back the person who cheated on me multiple times with multiple women, because you establishing a connection outside of our relationship, like I said, Madeline's definition of intimacy, sex lies outside of that. The intimacy comes in to play before anything else physical happens. So you establishing a connection is where the betrayal starts for me. And I can't, like, because you were willing to nurture a connection outside of ours instead of putting that energy into our relationship, you cheating just DOA. I can't get with that. I give too much in relationships to take being cheated on. So for me, being cheated on is more disrespect than anything. Like, you have the nerve.
The audacity. So thank you. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's podcast of Brunching with Friends. I want to thank Madeline for so much for being a guest on the show. We have to do this soon. We have to do this again.
Absolutely.
anytime.
All right, you guys. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Guys, so much for tuning in to Brunching with Friends. Please send your questions to brunchingwithfriends@gmail.com. That's brunchingwithfriends@gmail.com.